Thanks for listening to the podcast from Faith Radio Mornings.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings. Let it rise.
It's 4 minutes after the hour. So nice you're with us today. It's just you and me right now. Bill Arnold here, and I am looking forward to my discussion coming up with Bill English from BibleAndBusiness.com. He is currently in the studio. We're excited to talk to him. You know, when friends come over and they're leaving and they say, you know, we have to do this again, my thought is always, nah, that's okay. We don't have to do this again. But I always like when Bill comes in because we get to do this again because he's always so prepared and he's got such good content and he's so charming. And I'm saying, I didn't say good looking. He says good looking. Your mic's not on, and that's for a reason. Do not turn his mic on. But we're going to bring you on in just a minute, time permitting. I might go on a roll here, Bill, and then no Bill English. So there you go. All right, here's a couple pieces of news. This is a little emotional, as any story on abortion is going to be. But in Des Moines, Iowa, Republicans and a couple of Democrats are looking to restrict abortion in the state. Senators voted 32-17 yesterday to pass a measure banning most abortion procedures after 20 weeks of a pregnancy. The bill includes a prison sentence of up to 10 years for a doctor who performs an abortion after 20 weeks. An amendment saying life begins at conception wasn't debated as it was ruled out of order by legislative officials. That is not an easy word to say.
Not this early.
And it's kind of a sad thing that we're not saying life begins at conception.
Well, especially considering the party platform that's in control right now has that, like the Iowa Republican Party has that as part of their platform. It's the first plank of their platform that says life begins at conception.
Yeah.
So it would seem that that is ultimately relevant because otherwise there's no reason to have this type of legislation. But I know that this has been a big fight already. It seems like the legislative sessions have just started and there's not a lot of time to get into a lot of controversy. But this is, if there's anything worth the fight, it has to be the issue of life, right? It has to be protecting innocent life. And I think all of us as believers, there's nothing more precious to our Lord than life. I mean, he's the author of it. And we need to be on this front united, if on no others, I would think.
Amen, sister.
I mean, it's the heart of God, if anything is. So I am praying so hard and so regularly for the people of Iowa that are on the front lines of this fight to protect the innocent. I think they're doing God's work in the state house.
And you say that with passion because you're an Iowan yourself.
Yes. And I really do care. And I know that there are dear souls, dear brothers and sisters that are in there that have left their pulpits sometimes to come into the state house to pray with legislators, to debate with legislators when necessary. There's an undercurrent coming up in the Faith Radio state of Iowa. I think that if I can be so bold as to ask for prayer from everyone in our listening audience, if you can spare a few moments to pray for that state.
We will indeed. All right. You know, Minneapolis is coming up as hosting the next big Super Bowl. And right now, the people who want to take part in that can apply to volunteer. Now, I would volunteer, but if only I got paid. That was the only way I would volunteer.
That's an official volunteer, right?
Whatever. But you have to be able to pass a background check in order to be brought on to get into that organization to be a volunteer, background check to volunteer.
That seems like you could be proud of that, though, that if you passed the check and be like, I am qualified to volunteer at the Super Bowl.
Yes. Okay, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, Bill English in studio, we're going to hear his story and more. And what's the more part? I don't even know yet what the more part is. We'll be right back. Nine minutes after the hour. Good morning. I have in studio psychologist, pastor, businessman. You got to be careful what you say around this studio, Bill.
You do, don't you?
Yeah, because I will repeat virtually everything. I'm
really?
Like the big parrot here in the room. But welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. The emotional price owners pay when their business is failing.
It's deep.
Ooh, it's got to be painful.
It is painful.
Now, you have a presentation coming up at the Minnesota Psychological Association convention coming up here in Minneapolis. What's that going to be like?
I don't know. I've never presented there before, but yeah. I am going to be presenting on April 8th. It's a Saturday.
My guess is it won't go well.
Why not?
A bunch of psychologists in a room?
Oh, I know.
Talk about getting microanalyzed.
Oh, my gosh. And you talk about everybody being so appropriate all at the same time.
Right,
oh.
Right.
So it's bad.
Okay. Anyway, in your presentation, you're going to talk about undeniable truths. What are some of these truths?
Well, the truths are related to the emotional price that owners pay when their businesses start to fail. That's what I'm presenting on.
Okay.
At the Psychological Association. And the reason I'm doing that.
They're a mess, aren't they?
Is because a lot of times therapists and psychologists are going to have business owners in the therapy room. And the reality is that they don't know what to do with the business aspect of that person's life. And so they tend to just kind of ignore it and set it aside and hope that that person somehow finds help for their business. When in reality, the business is probably the largest stressor and one of the reasons why they're in the counseling room in the first place. And so the undeniable truth I have is that, and we've talked about it in past shows, your ability to downsize your business is as important as your ability to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Every business owner at some point is going to have to downsize and refocus his or her business in order to set it up for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And most business owners don't have any idea how to do that, when to do that, why they would do that, or if they even should do that. If for no other reason, most businesses downsize during a recession. And the reality is we have a recession every 7 to 10 years. We have had that since 1960. And we're due for another one here.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter that Trump's president. It wouldn't have mattered if Mrs. Clinton was president.
Mm-hmm.
We are due for another recession. And so downsizing is one of the things that needs to happen. Did you know that 50% of all businesses fail in the first 5 years?
That's a big number.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So you start a business, within 5 years, it's gone. 90% in the first 10.
90% of businesses will fail in the first 10 years?
Yes. Only 10% of them last. So if you're listening today and you've got a business that's over 10 years old, you're one of the 10% who's made it.
Wow. Congratulations, by the way.
It's kind of like you got up and down the stream without the bears eating you.
Mm. Boy, if you are one of those business owners that are now 10 years or more and you've done it on your knees, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. 1-877-933-2484. We'd love to have you jump into the conversation. Okay, so yet, despite the fact that so many businesses fail, there's 500,000 new businesses are started each month.
Each month.
I was going to say year, but month.
No. Each month. It takes a lot of startups in order to have a few survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so
those are really crazy statistics.
It is a crazy statistic. Now, remember that a lot of those businesses that start as part-time, you know, I'm going to do this a few hours a week,
mm-hmm.
and most of them never get past that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what are some indications that a business is headed towards this failure that we're talking about? 50% are going to fail in the first 5 years, 90% in the first 10. What are we looking at? What are some indicators that this thing is going towards disaster?
Well, I'll divide this up into two parts, early indicators and late indicators. So early indicators that your business is starting to head in the wrong direction include you're only managing profit. You're really not managing cash. A lot of business owners don't know how to manage cash. And so that's one of the things that we teach, and I can certainly hop on the phone with you if you'd like. If you're a business owner and you want to know how to do that, just give me a call and I'll walk you through it. But they only manage profit. You can go out of business and be profitable. But if you're managing cash and you're always building cash, it's pretty tough to go out of business. Another indicator, you have a drop in revenue without a commensurate drop in expenses.
Mm.
So
it's hard to shut those expenses down, isn't it?
Especially when they're payroll related.
Right, right.
And so, you know, you've had a couple, 3 good years. You've been ramping up. You've been hiring people. And all of a sudden, one of your key customers decides to go somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
or the market changes and your revenue is dropping.
Scary.
You oftentimes try to get the revenue back up before you reduce payroll, and
mm-hmm.
that's the pinch. That's where you end up creating long-term debt, either
yeah.
in vendor debt or trade debt or something,
yeah.
because you've traded those dollars to pay debt. You've traded them to pay payroll instead.
But you said reducing payroll, that sounds really technical, but the truth is you're letting a person go who has to feed his family or her family.
Correct.
Yeah, that makes it a little bit tougher, doesn't it?
It is tough. Yeah. Running a business is not easy.
It's not.
It's not for the faint of heart. And so it's, but you know, you have to make difficult choices like that in order to keep the business going. Another early indicator is if you suddenly have to put another $50,000-$100,000 mm-hmm. into the business and an infusion of cash that you weren't planning on.
Okay.
That's probably an early indicator. A late indicator, where I call them life support indicators, you're, mm-hmm. you're barely functioning at this point. You're unable to make full payroll. You're behind in making your payroll taxes. Most of your vendors you're paying 90 days or more past due, and either the owners are taking partial or no salaries out of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Those are indicators that the business is seriously not healthy,
yeah.
and it's close to going bankrupt.
All right. What are some of the emotions an owner experiences besides panic, fear, and screaming?
Yeah, well, start there.
Okay.
And just keep going, right?
Yeah.
So panic, fear, screaming. What I will say is that they will repress their emotions and they'll compartmentalize their emotions. But I tell you what, maybe we should pick this up on the other side of the break and
I'll run the show, Bill.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Bill.
What we're going to do is we're going to take this up on the other side of the break. It's 16 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back. Hour, Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com in studio. We're having a great conversation, and we're talking about when a business fails, what are the emotions an owner experiences?
Well, we'll talk about the emotions in just a moment, but okay. let's just understand that whatever emotions, negative emotions that they are feeling, they're going to repress them.
Okay.
That's the first thing, because if you are feeling anxious or you're feeling depressed or you're feeling highly worried or whatever it is, you're going to have to appear to your staff, to your customers, your vendors, all those folks.
That everything is rosy.
Everything's okay.
Yep.
I'm heading forward. We're taking the next hill.
Right.
Life is good. And,
right.
You know, I'm living the dream kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find that a number of these owners will engage in repression. And while I'm not Freudian, I do think that there's something to the idea that repression of emotions leads to physical consequences and other psychological consequences as well.
Mm-hmm. Like a rash breaking out on your neck because
yeah.
you're trying to act like everything is good when you know it's not.
Or a goiter coming out of your your neck. I'm going to try that every week. I'm going to try and get the goiter comment in.
I like that. So anyway, we're repressing emotions, but you have to remain optimistic. What about compartmentalizing these feelings? Do you share this with who? Your spouse? Do you go home and say, boy, honey, the business is really in the tank?
Well, you should.
Are you covering that too?
You should, because your spouse can pray with you.
Okay.
And your spouse can support you. But I tell you, there's a lot of business owners out there right now whose businesses are not doing well, and their spouses have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Their partners may not even have a full idea. The ability of us to turn on our deluxe rationalizers and come up with reasons why we should not be truthful with other people is astounding.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to guard against that.
What about the business books that say you've got to be positive no matter what?
Well, I think there's reasons to find to be positive even in the midst of a downturn.
Okay.
So even if your business is headed south, there are legitimate reasons to be positive if you are taking the right steps to keep your business profitable.
Okay. So let's talk about when you are an owner and the business is failing and you're trying to listen to the voice of God, but you're stubborn. I remember when I was learning how to water ski, Bill, it took so much work to get the water skis on and then to get the rope between the water skis and to get yourself in a position where you're balanced. And then you say, hit it. And as they're pulling you up and you're going down, I would still hang on to the handle, even though my skis were off and I was traveling about 2 inches under the water. I just refused to give up because I just didn't want to let go because I'd worked so hard to get to that place.
Yeah.
And it was just so ridiculous as I was taking in gallons of water into my lungs. But business people have to feel like, wait a minute, we have worked so hard to get here, I can't let go.
There's a lot of that. And it's also really, for them, it's also a death of a dream. They
mm-hmm.
have a dream. They started a business. In their mind, they can see this dream. They can see it happening. It's almost reality for them.
Mm-hmm.
And to let that go or to even modify it or massage it or scale it back can be very, very difficult for them.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the professional humiliation of what happens in the business community. And you got to go to church and go, oh, my business failed. And how does that make a person feel? I wasn't trusting God enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I mean, there's a lot of complicated emotions that people have.
There are
regarding business failures.
And when we do business failures, or when your business is not doing well and you go to church and try to talk about it, who do you talk to? I mean, I'm serious. Who do you talk to? Other business owners, hopefully, mm-hmm. if you can grab them, you know, between services out in the foyer. So that's about all you got. I'm going to be piloting. Didn't intend to mention it this morning, but I'm going to be piloting a new Sunday school class for business owners and their spouses this coming fall at my church.
Cool.
And we're going to try to see what we can do to support business owners and those who are business leaders from a Christian perspective. But I tell you what, you'll feel drained. You'll feel embarrassed. You'll feel insignificant at times. You'll feel unimportant, empty, discouraged, disheartened, unneeded, and the list just goes on and on. And I've been there. Mm-hmm. And it is a horrible, horrible state to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm. What about when you're getting counsel from people and they're trying to be encouraging to you, but they're not being real?
Your radar for what is unreal versus real is real high.
Oh, it has to be.
When you're in this situation. And you will politely thank those who give you platitudes, and you'll walk away going, those people are idiots. I mean, they really don't know what they're talking about. It's the business owners who's been through the downturn that you want to talk to, and they've successfully been through it and turned their companies around. Those are the men and women you want to talk to,
mm-hmm.
because they will be able to give you a very short, but very brief advice, but it'll be spot on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll look at you and say, do you know what your break even is? You got to find out what your break even is and then get under it and stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, and if you've got to let go 30% of your payroll, you got to do that. Now, if you don't know how to do that, call me and I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the people who have actually fought the battle are the people that you want to talk to. Most people at church won't get it. So if you go into church and you have a $10 million business and your business is failing right now, it's really tough to go in and say, I need prayer because I have a $600,000 payroll coming up. And I only have, or maybe I have a $1.5 million payroll coming up, and I don't know how to meet it, and I'm going to have to let go 30% of my people. Very few people are going to understand that prayer request.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look at it and go, well, you're a rich
right.
business owner. Just go to the bank and get the money.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work that
yeah.
way. They don't realize that, but it's tough in the churches.
What about if your business may need something other than you? All of a sudden,
yeah.
I mean, George Zimmer, he invents the Men's Warehouse, and the board kicks him out.
Yeah.
You know, what happens when you have sort of used up you've thrown all your fastballs?
Yeah. Most entrepreneurs do not make good long-term managers.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you have to do is understand that you have been given a business to steward by God. And at some point, you are probably not the right person to operate it. You know, there's a lot of families out there who believe that their businesses should be family-owned and family-operated. And at some point, they're going to have to face that juncture where they say, really, should this be family-operated or should it be other-operated and yet family-owned?
Mm-hmm.
And so almost all businesses, as they grow, have to swap out their management teams. A lot of times, that includes the founder.
Mm-hmm. So that's a tough pill to swallow, though, and especially if you've taken something from its origin and worked it to a place where you had success along the way,
right.
and now you're starting to go
right.
into the tank, and you feel like you're going to be the person that's going to make this happen and pull it out, when in fact maybe you're the wrong player.
You know, but if it's all about you as opposed to what mm-hmm. God has given to you and entrusted to you as an entrustment, it makes a world of difference. If this business, if I look at it in light of eternity, and I look at it as an entrustment from God, I will do what's best for the business, and I will take a secondary role if I need to. But if it's all about me, I've got to be at the helm of this business
right.
as it's growing all the time,
right.
then chances are I'm going to screw it up.
Mm. That's a lot of wise counsel, Bill, but it's a hard, hard pill for many, many to swallow.
And I'll just say that if you have a business that's failing out there, go ahead and send me an email.
Or send me an email.
You want to send?
Yeah, send me one, and I'm
okay.
and I'll help you really get it into the tank. And then I'll forward the email to Bill, and he'll help you get it out of the tank.
Yeah, well, you can get a hold of me through Faith Radio. I don't know what the contact is here at Faith Radio.
BibleandBusiness.com. Can they also go on that website and contact you off that?
Yes, they can.
And you can offer counsel and and help, and that would be great. Bill, thanks again for being on the show. You're my favorite Wednesday guest. Didn't I say that to Ken Kaiser? Yeah, so I don't know, maybe.
I'm your favorite second hour.
There you go.
Second hour Wednesday.
Thanks. Have a great day. 27 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Be right back. Alveda King is coming up in our next half hour. She is the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. Don't go anywhere. Okay. It's 32 minutes after the hour. We've got Alveda King coming up next after the news. Her uncle, you may remember, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. How cool is that? We'll be back in just a minute. One of the main principles of generosity is truth. Brad Hewitt, the CEO of Thrivent Financial, also uses a surprising word to describe a common trait of generous people.
I often hear, as being in the business world, you know, there's biblical truth and then there's business truth and everything. And it's not truth. There's truth. There's God's truth. God made the world and there's absolute truth. And this principle of generosity is truth. And some people figure it out, whether they're a believer or not. They've discovered, or they come from a family, or something has happened that they understand that this, they stumble into this principle that as we have an abundant mindset, good things start to happen because that's the way God made the world. That's truth. And so it's a little bit of what you find in generous people are all of those benefits. And what we also find about generous people is they're incredibly winsome. Almost always they're winsome people. It's the one characteristic, one word to describe generous people. It's winsome, not the word I'd use for stingy people.
It's 37 minutes after the hour. Good morning. So glad to have you with us today with very special guest on the studio line, evangelist Alveda King. She's the director of civil rights for the unborn with Priests for Life. Good morning, Alveda. I think, are you there?
Good morning. You and your listeners, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
A wonderful opportunity to join you.
Oh, here's my first question. You ready for this one?
Yes, I am.
Why are you so awesome?
God is awesome. God is awesome.
Yeah.
And we serve a mighty God and a mighty, awesome, strong, and powerful God. God told me, somebody told me, oh, you're a voice. You're not an echo. And I was pretty proud about that.
That's awesome.
And then God says, well, actually, I'm the voice and you are the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm God's microphone and I serve an awesome God.
When I was getting ready to talk to you today, I was brought to a verse. You ready for this? Galatians 1:10. I am not trying to win the approval of human beings. Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You are a servant of Christ.
Just love the Lord, servant of Christ. That's absolutely true.
Okay, now I've got an Uncle Marty. He works at a hardware store. People almost never ask me about him. Does anyone ever ask you about your uncle?
Absolutely, because my uncle is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He and my dad, Reverend A.D. King, my granddaddy, Martin Luther King Sr., many of our family members of the King family legacy live in heaven. But I am the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. because of my dad, A.D. King, his brother.
Of course. Now, I want to talk about your new book, America, Return to God. Boy, do we need that. And we've got some cultural monsters at the gate, don't we?
We do. And those monsters are, I talk about a three-headed monster. And that is racism, reproductive genocide, and sexual perversion.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you get poverty, war, strife, sickness, all of those kinds of things. And the way that you kill a Hydra monster, you have to cut off the three heads at once, or however many heads, but this one is a three-headed monster, and then stab it through the heart with a sword. In this case, the sword of the spirit. We are removing those. And God showed me recently, I would say God showed me, a broken coin. And in the coin, half of the coin deals with the ugly and bad things that happen to people, and the other half is the goodness of God. And when you put that coin back together, the goodness of God washes over and makes the coin useful. So we have to know that issues like abortion and human sexuality and all of those things are a problem. and they are a result of sin. But then we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord God, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, Lord Holy Spirit. And with that, there is an opportunity for us to do what I have done. I had abortions in my past. I repented, and the divorces and all of that. And I stopped and changed my life and gave my life to Jesus. And so when we do that, that's when the beauty comes, and that's when the healing comes.
Mm-hmm. Elvita, I think we're trying to fight worldly problems with worldly weapons. We can't do that, can we? We have to fight worldly problems with heavenly weapons.
We absolutely have to. I've been talking recently to people about coming out of the outer courts, the things that humans worry about, whether we're Christians or not, whether we're religious or not, and coming to the inner court of God, the court of heaven, and appearing before God in the holy of holies, where grace and mercy abound. And so that should be our goal. And when we do that, then the cares of the world begin to fall away. We realize that they're not where we are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. You probably can't stay quiet when you talk to people about the hope you have in your heart. We are living in a world right now that is lacking a lot of hope. There's a lot of polarization in the world, and there's a lot of people that are haters of God and Christianity, and so there's work to do, isn't there?
Well, Bill, you know, there's a song I learned as a little girl, and it says, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. There's a Father up above looking down on you with love. Oh, be careful, little hearts."
Elvita, can you sing a little of that?
Like that. I can try. My voice sometimes is here. Let's sing.
I just want to hear the tune.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above looking down on you with love. Oh, be careful, little hearts, what you feel. So that's a song.
Oh, that's
I probably
fun.
Learned it in Vacation Bible School, maybe. But it just came across my remembrance right then as you were talking. So we have to overcome evil with good. And as we do that, and then God being good gives us the strength, and we have to have faith, we have to have hope. As you ask about, is there hope in the world? We have to have agape love, God's love. And not to be self-righteous or judgmental and pointing out all the wrong that people are doing. We should make a correction there and say there's a better way, but not like, be like me. I'm not doing that, so don't you do it. Well, the reason I'm not doing that is because God's arms are around me. So come into the circle of the love of God. And that is what Jesus was teaching. I think it's over in the book of Luke, and the disciples were wanting to condemn and get rid of the bad people. And Jesus said, that's not what I came for. I came to seek and save the lost. And so we have to remember to shine that light so that people can see the way to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Elvita, what about the unity of the Spirit between the family of God? We're struggling just amongst each other in terms of being of one spirit among the brethren. Comment on that, please.
Well, we also want to be one spirit, and to be one, as Jesus said in John 17, and also one blood, one race, one human race, Acts 17:26. And so our skin color should not divide us. As a matter of fact, the things that do divide us should not. I remember President Trump in his inaugural address said, no matter what our stations or situations in life happen to be, and I'm paraphrasing that, he said, our blood runs red. So to become brothers and sisters, we have to stop dividing and fighting and to become united in Christ.
Mm-hmm. So as we go out into the world, do we need to do more listening?
We have to listen and then act and respond. And we listen to each other, certainly the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. So the more we hear God's word and act on it, faith without works is dead. And then love, faith, hope, and love abound, but the greatest is actually love. And so if we approach each other in that manner, realizing honestly why Father God sent Lord Jesus, God's not a male or female. We know that. Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus is, and Holy Spirit is a spirit. God is a spirit. and we worship God in spirit and in truth, and yet God manifests to us as our Father with the heart and love of a Father. And so as we understand that and begin to worship God in spirit and in truth, then that's when the love prevails in us.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious about some of the family gatherings when you were a child and your parents and your uncle, Martin Luther King Jr., and you had everyone together. What was it like in that house?
Our home has always been a home of love and a household of faith. It's called the King Family Legacy, Williams and King, Daddy King, Martin Luther King Sr. Matter, Alberta Williams King. And so the son of an Irish sharecropper.
Mm-hmm.
Granddaddy's grandfather was from Ireland, Cork, Ireland, and Mama King, the daughter of a former slave, married and had three children. And in that branch, that's where I'm part of that. I'm the oldest of their children's children. And so we always come together in love and prayer. We practice the six steps of nonviolent conflict resolution. You can find those at civilrightsfortheunborn.com, and you scroll down to six principles and you'll see those. And in my book, America Return to God.com, you see many of the scriptures that you hear me discussing today and many of the principles. And there's a picture of that three-headed monster, and you attack that with the word of God.
Mm-hmm. And was there a lot of laughter in the home as well when everyone gathered? I just get this feeling that there was.
Always laughter and play and good food.
I bet there was good food.
I hope I have a cookbook about that this year.
Yeah.
I hope I have a cookbook come out about it. I did a holiday special last year, Home for the Holidays, a King Family Legacy video.
Nice.
I think you can still Google my name and Alveda King Home for the Holidays. You can probably still find some of our heritage and some of the things we did. We did a video about it.
Did Uncle Martin ever have any specialties in the kitchen?
Not so much specialties in the kitchen. Daddy and Uncle ML, as mm-hmm. I call him. My dad, when they were growing up, would be in the kitchen with his grandmother, and he learned how to cook some things, and I imagine Uncle ML could cook as well. But they used to play a little music and sing and tell jokes as well. So it was just a wonderful time. The two brothers grew up together, and they were civil rights leaders and preachers together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Such a delight, Alveda. Thank you so much, and thank you for singing. You actually made my week.
Wow. Thank you for the opportunities, Bill, and God bless you and your listening audience.
God bless you. Alveda King, her
thank
book,
you.
America Return to God. It's 48 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be back.
Moms and dads have heard that sooner or later, they'll have to show their teen a little tough love. But what exactly does that mean? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Tough love isn't making her suffer consequences or holding her to a strict set of standards. That approach is actually pretty easy compared to what I believe it really is. Tough love is loving your teen when she says she hates you, when she violates the very core of what you're all about, when she's intent on going against what you've taught her, and when she purposely pushes you to your limit and beyond. I know it's tough to love someone who's acting like that, but trust me when I say your long-term reward will be worth the effort. So here's the question. Ready to use some tough love?
Does your house feel more like a war zone than a home? Then read Mark's 7 Characteristics of a Good Argument. Download them at ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
Minutes after the hour. Good morning. What a delight it was to talk to Alveda King. She's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. She's written a book called America, Return to God. Repent from sin, rebuild the wall, repair the gates, restore the dream. And one of the reasons she says in her book that America borders on the brink of economic disaster and constant violent upheaval is that we have turned blind eyes and deaf ears to the plight of our brothers and sisters. Like Cain, who killed his brother Abel, we have despised good and have turned away from caring about what happens to our brothers and sisters. We must humble ourselves, as Nehemiah did. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For days I have mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I think when we look out at a lost world, we have to always remind ourselves that God loves these people and has a heart for them, and we have to be reminded these are not the enemy. They're the victims of the enemy, people who have not had the faith, the conversion, the come to faith in Christ. They're not going to be regenerated, and we can't be too surprised when ungodly people do ungodly things. But it was really fun to have Alveda on the line this morning. And Rebecca, you said something to the effect that you hope to one day be like her when you grow
up. Yes, I want to be her when I grow up. I absolutely love her work. I love the way that she put it. I'm God's microphone, that he's the voice, and I'm just letting his voice shine through me and what I do, and that's the goal. And I think that's amazing. That's a wonderful example. I also think the tone that she sets in the way that she speaks and in the way that she writes as well is one that does seek to find unity together in the common message of Christ, that we're not papering over our differences. We need to listen to one another and understand our different experiences, different points of view, and all of that is valuable, but we come together as one in one Lord, one faith. And that's where true unity can be found. I don't think it can be found anywhere else. And that's going to take some repentance and humility on everybody's part.
Well, I certainly felt like when she came on the studio line, I instantly felt her heart. I felt like she was just going to let us see who she is and what's in her heart. And what I heard was God's word was in her heart. Love was in her heart. Hope was in her heart. And the desire to be at one with our brothers and sisters in this life was kind of her highest goal and ambition, is to know God and make him known. And I don't know, I never, ever get tired of being reminded of that and hearing that articulated so beautifully.
Indeed.
As she did.
Well, and I think that's key, too, just thinking about how we can apply that in our lives. Like I said, I'd like to be her when I grow up. I don't know how close I could ever come, but, you know, a girl's got to have goals. I think it can be a brave, to me, that's brave. When you open up and you let everyone see, okay, this is who I am, that is itself an act of bravery. That can be a very scary and a very vulnerable thing. But maybe the trick is, and tell me what you think about this, Bill, maybe the trick is that it's not you that you're showing, that it has to be more than who you are, because it's scary to let somebody in and see everything about you. If it's just you, you're going to let people down. You might disappoint them. You might not be good enough, or all, you know, name your fear as to why you would be guarded. But to open something, because we know that the Spirit of Christ is what's in us. If we open up and let people see Jesus in us, then it's, how can we but share? How can we help but speak of what he has done in us? So I think the trick to being genuinely who we are is to be more and more like him. Does that seem like a good takeaway?
Well, in theory, yes. In theory, yes. But I think we're a little self-absorbed, and we're always concerned to some degree what people think about us. So it gets increasingly difficult to not make it about us.
So sure,
I think
absolutely.
Your point in theory is really wonderful. I always hope that if somebody sees something in me that they like, that they're seeing Jesus. That's
right.
My whole desire. And
that maybe that's the antidote to that selfishness and the self-centeredness, is to remind people that anything that is coming from me I'm not the author of it, that God is the author of what's good, and that I basically have to take responsibility of anything else.
Mm-hmm. But she certainly brings up some really great points. There is monsters out there that she talked about, the three-headed monster, and her book, America... Return to God is a good one, and you'll learn all about that, the three-headed monster, in that book. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of a frog in my throat right now. That wraps up our morning here at Faith Radio. Thanks for listening today. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. We've got our fifth annual Writers Contest coming up. That is now still accepting submissions. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay, and it's open to all aspiring authors. This is your chance to receive registration to the Northwestern Christian Writers Convention. We welcome your fiction or nonfiction submission that explores the themes outlined in Micah 6:8. Now, for more information about that, You can go to myfaithradio.com/write and check that out. That's going to be a lot of fun coming up. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for listening to this Faith Radio Mornings podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Faith Radio Mornings, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thanks for sharing the audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Faith Radio Mornings.